Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know one thing that we all share in common. Don't we all want to know the truth? The truth about what's really going on here in this crazy, confusing, chaotic world. So welcome to the 615th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the message is titled 2023 Endgame Update Number 31. And a bit later, folks, we're going to tie it all into what the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13, verse 11, where it reads, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake like a dragon. Folks, I'm telling you, this is none other than the sinister minister himself of propaganda. It's either someone or something that looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon. Could anyone say the fake news or perhaps the Pope? Now, the purpose of this entity is to cause the people of this world to worship and marvel at the beast. So I hope you stay tuned to learn about the beast's sidekick, the false prophet. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And as God's people, what are we doing? We're just passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And stay tuned to find out some of the latest news that the mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember, folks, it all started with this lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we do every week, folks, let's get started with a review from a past episode. Now, last week we heard about Nathan of The Watchman's Cry. And thank you to my sister-in-law, Sue, for sharing that with us. Now, Nathan is a former Pentecostal pastor who's warning us about Trump and Project 2025, which was authored by the Heritage Foundation. So let's have a re-listen to what we heard last week from Pastor Nathan Lee. This will just be a short recap of what we heard last week from this fearless man who's out there sounding the alarm.
We are a failing nation. We are a nation in decline, and now these radical left lunatics want to interfere with our elections by using law enforcement. It's totally corrupt, and we can't let it happen. This is the final battle. With you at my side, we will demolish the deep state. We will expel the warmongers from our government. We will drive out the globalists. We will cast out the communists. We will throw off the sick political class that hates our country. We will roll out the fake news media. We will expose the rhinos for what they are. We will defeat Joe Biden, and we will liberate America from these villains once and for all. We will liberate. We're going to liberate our country. The silent majority is rising, and under our leadership, the forgotten man and woman will never be forgotten again, never be forgotten again.
Around with us, if you do something bad to us, we are going to do things to you that have never been done before. Around with us. with us. If you do something bad to us, we are going to do things to you that have never been done before.
Hello, my friends. I'm Nathan Liao. The website is watchmanscry.com. Today, I have a very, very, very important warning message to share with the body of Christ. If you are a child of God, you love Jesus, you love God, this concerns you. Up front, let me just say, I do not like having to do programs about Donald Trump because it drains my energy, just like it drains yours. You know, folks, I get it. I understand being in that situation, but at the same time, this is what Satan does. He wears people out to the point where they're numb to it. I understand that that is the situation with Trump, with a lot of you folks, but please, my friends, please, please, listen to this program in its entirety, because this is a warning that needs to be taken seriously. And it looks like the warnings that I have been very concerned about, that Trump may be the man of sin, the little horn, the son of perdition. All the suspicions that I have had, I have new information today to reinforce that concern, because Donald Trump is making it very clear right now, today. He's making it very clear, and the Republicans in Washington, D.C. are making it clear what they want to see in the future of the United States of America. Folks, you see the screen? Project 2025. They have a plan for the future of America, and if they are successful with this plan, the United States of America as we know it will no longer exist. The plan that they have to bring Donald Trump into office is an authoritarian, tyrannical dictatorship plan. It is a fascist plan that rhymes with what Putin did in Russia, what Erdogan did in Turkey, and what Adolf Hitler did. This thing is real, ladies and gentlemen. The plan is called Project 2025. And if Trump comes back into office, the plan is going to centralize more power into the Oval Office, and it's going to increase his authority over every part of the federal government.
Now, I agree with everything Nathan said there, except I think already ceased to exist as it did. And stay tuned, folks, and listen on, because you're going to see why I make that statement. Now, remember, Nathan said it wasn't he wasn't a Democrat, simply bashing Trump. And that talking about Trump during his podcast is exhausting. And that's all part of the plan, folks. It's desensitization. Project Mockingbird. You're not going to know what's up and what's down. And the prophet Isaiah warned us about a time when things will be turned upside down. So just what is this? And now it's formally known as the 2025 Presidential Transition Project, or as I've been calling it, and Nathan has, Project 2025 for short. Well, if you do a quick search on Project 2025, it's going to bring up all sorts of articles everywhere you look. And a lot of them are coming from the leftist sites, such as this one over at a site called progressive.org. Now, remember, the term progressive is just a euphemism for Marxist. So there's this article over there at progressive.org, and it's titled "The Heritage Foundation Plan to Help Trump End Democracy in America, Common Dreams." So this is how the article on Project 2025 over at the progressive.org website opens, and I'm quoting now. And are you ready, folks? Donald Trump nearly destroyed American democracy. That's the first warning, folks. When you start to read an article and you see it open in the first sentence with the word democracy in reference to this nation, know that you're reading a false narrative. But they always disperse some truth in there. This isn't a democracy, folks. This is a republic. So let's continue with the article. Donald Trump nearly destroyed American democracy in his first term in office. If he is reelected, his plans to try to finish the job. This isn't a matter of speculation. It's a virtual certainty. In campaign speeches, TV interviews, posts on Truth Social, and a head-spinning list of promises posted on his official campaign website. Now, we just heard some of that in that clip from Nathan. The first portion was very nice. It's the promo info. And then you heard that break before Nathan got on, and you heard all the things that Trump promised he'd do. You know, Trump has vowed to pressure Congress to pass legislation imposing the death penalty on drug smugglers and human traffickers. Well, you know what? Maybe that's not a bad idea. He's promised to purge Marxists from the Department of Education, remove civil service protections on federal employees, and obliterate the deep state and rout the fake news media. He's also pledged to fire special counsel Jack Smith, whom he has labeled a deranged lunatic, a psycho, and a crackhead, and appoint a real special prosecutor to target President Joe Biden and his family, along with a litany of other real and imagined enemies. It would be bad enough if such threats were simply the ravings of a wannabe dictator desperate to stay out of jail, but they are much more dangerous than that. Trump's 2024 election bid and his vows of revenge and retribution are backed by a sophisticated and multifaceted movement that seeks to expand presidential power to unprecedented heights should he or any other like-minded GOP extremist win back the Oval Office. End quote. Now, folks, it's not just like-minded GOP extremists. It's any like-minded extremist, including Biden. Folks, these things are not dependent upon party. These things are the trends that are happening in America today. Now, at first glance, a conservative may dismiss all this as the ravings of a left-wing propaganda outlet, but is it? Well, the question we have to ask ourselves is, so what is this Project 2025? Well, let's have a listen from an advocate of the program from the Heritage Foundation. And Nathan played this on his podcast, and we covered it last week. But I want to just play it. It's a short clip, a minute or so. And it's going to tell you from the marketing perspective exactly what Project 2025 is.
All right. What is Project 2025? It is everyone here. This is the movement. We are going to be prepared day one, January 20, 2025, to hit the ground running. But what we're doing is systematically preparing to march into office and bring a new army of aligned, trained, and essentially weaponized conservatives ready to do battle against the deep state.
Did you hear that, folks? Weaponized conservatives to do battle against the deep state. Now, at face value, that sounds great. But remember that unrestrained power, most egregious danger to a free people. And that's what you have here. So there's another way to find out more about Project 2025. And we go directly to the Heritage Foundation's website, and you'll find a document titled The 2025 Presidential Transition Project. And I'm going to read a little bit from that. So I quote, it is not 1980, and that's the year the Heritage Foundation was established during the Reagan era. So let's start this again. It's not 1980. In 2023, the game has changed. The long march of cultural Marxism through our institutions has come to pass. And folks, that part is true. The federal government is a behemoth, and that's true, too, weaponized against American citizens and conservative values with freedom and liberty under siege as never before. All true, folks. The task at hand is to reverse this tide and restore our republic to its original moorings, and it's too great for any one conservative policy shop to spearhead. It requires the collective action of our movement. With the quickening approach of January 2025, we have 2 years and one chance to get it right. Project 2025 is more than 50 and growing of the nation's leading conservative organizations joining forces to prepare and seize the day. The axiom goes, personnel is policy. Personnel is policy. And we need a new generation of Americans to answer the call and come to serve. This book, and it was a book, folks. I downloaded it. It's over 900 pages. This book is functionally an invitation for you, the reader, Mr. Smith, Mrs. Smith, and Ms. Smith, to come to Washington or support those who can. Now, that goes back to that movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. I think that was a Jimmy Stewart movie. Very good one, in fact. Then I continue. Our goal is to assemble an army of aligned, vetted, trained, and prepared conservatives to go to work on day one to deconstruct the administrative state. All good, folks. This all sounds so wonderful. Now, at first read, like I said, it may sound great, and that's the end of the quote I'm going to read. And then listening to many of these new videos out for Trump's 2024 campaign, it sounds like it's all wonderful, you know. We're turning back the clock to the good old days of baseball, apple pie, and Chevrolet. Let's have a listen to one of these latest promo videos for President Trump's 2024 election campaign. And boy, I'll tell you, it does stir you up and it does get exciting. But the devil's always in the details. So let's listen to it, and I'll have a few thoughts on the other side of this promo.
Mr. Vice President, I'm going off script again, I know, but I just want to personally thank you. We've been through some stuff. We've gone through some of the most complex military operations this country's ever conducted, and your steady hand and your leadership during those was a great source of strength for me. Thank you for your leadership. Thank you for your character. Thank you for your selfless service. Thank you for commitment. Thank you for being a mentor to me, Mr. Vice President.
It's called the swap. And you know what happened? And you know what I did? A big favor. I caught the swap. I caught them all. Let's see what happens. Nobody else could have done that but me. I caught all of this corruption that was going on, and nobody else could have done it.
Every 4 years, we gather on these steps to carry out the orderly and peaceful transfer of power. Today's ceremony, however, has very special meaning, because today we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people. For too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost. Washington flourished, but the people did not share in its wealth. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now. The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first.
This is a president of the United States who is a danger to the Republic.
America first.
He knows he's an illegitimate president.
The oath of office I take today is an oath of allegiance to all Americans.
The great Trump recovery.
America will never be a socialist country. I will fight for you with every breath in my body.
Russia. Russian pro-Russian. Russian, Russia, Russian, 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 Russian.
Russia, 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 Russia.
And I will never ever let you down.
A dangerous virus is spreading rapidly in China, and U.S. officials are very worried that it could come here.
This is where the worst attack we've ever had. This is worse than Pearl Harbor. This is worse than the World Trade Center. There's never been an attack like this.
The time for empty talk is over. Now arrives the hour of action. What they're doing is using COVID to steal an election. Together, we will make America strong again.
You know what it's about? Frauds, fake ballots.
We will make America wealthy again.
They are trying to steal the election. Now, under the leadership of President Trump, we are fully realizing President Kennedy's prescient view of special operations forces.
We will make America proud again. And watch, please, those mail-in ballots. We will make America safe again.
And in millions and millions of ballots,
their vote is under what they thought they needed. They're dumping more ballots in there, okay? And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you. God bless you. We are right about the fraud. Joe Biden can't be president.
Congress, the chair declares the joint session dissolved.
And God bless America.
Here's the moment you've all been waiting for. Here is Devolution. With Tel Patriot. The best is yet to come.
So that was a little promo video for Trump 2024 over at the Patel Patriot. And you can get that from Badlands Media on Rumble. So what's wrong with all that? Well, like I said before we played the clip, the devil is in the detail, folks. So now that clip opened with the November 10th, 2020 appointment of Special Forces operator Christopher Miller, who replaced Mark Esper as Secretary of Defense. That's after Trump supposedly lost the election. So stay with me here, folks, because this is really intense and this is really crazy. So what's wrong with all that? Well, the mainstream media will tell you what's wrong with that. And here's a clip that was played. I think it was on MSNBC, but don't quote me on that. And just listen to how they're coming out against Project 2025. And then I'm going to share with you the backstory.
And we begin tonight with a terrifying concept that is currently our reality. Right now, the Republican Party's presidential frontrunner, a twice impeached, twice indicted, liable for sexual abuse former president, is openly running a campaign on autocracy. New reporting from the New York Times today breaks down all the ways Donald Trump and his allies are planning to expand presidential power if he's elected in 2024. And that goes beyond just using the Justice Department to go after his political enemies, as he has already promised to do. The Times writes that Trump and his associates have a broader goal, to alter the balance of power by increasing the president's authority over every part of the federal government that now operates by either law or tradition, with any measure of independence from political interference by the White House. That includes bringing independent agencies like the Federal Communications Commission, which regulates the media, and the Federal Trade Commission under direct presidential control.
Now, a lot of people on the conservative side, and especially the MAGA people, would say, but that's just neo-Marxist propaganda from the mainstream media, Brokan, isn't it? Well, yes and no. And here's where we dive down deep into the rabbit hole. So buckle your seatbelts, folks, and let's get ready for a deep dive. You see, a lot of this centers around a program established by the federal government years ago, and it's known as Devolution and the Continuity of Government. And you can get all sorts of well-researched details from a veteran, a patriot named Derek Johnson. And what I'd like to do right now is play about the first 6 or 7 minutes from a recent interview Derek did on the X-22 Spotlight. So here's the opening of that interview, and I recommend you go out there. Just go to x22.com and go to All X-22. Open that button. It's at the top on the browser, and then scroll down to the very last tab on that pull-down menu, and it is the all the Spotlight interviews. And you'll see there's one from Derek Johnson. So let's just listen about the first 6 or 7 minutes of this. And Derek's going to set the stage very well for some of the comments I'm going to make afterwards. So here goes. Buckle your seatbelts, folks, because this is a deep dive.
Hi, and welcome to the X-22 Report Spotlight. Today we have a returning guest, Derek Johnson. You can find Derek's work on True Social, Twitter, Facebook, and Rumble. I'll be putting all the links at the bottom of the video, and I am very happy and honored to have Derek back on the X-22 Report Spotlight. Derek, welcome back to the Spotlight.
Well, thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
Thanks for being here, and I wanted to start off with continuity of government. Now, I just, in a short, brief summary, when was continuity of government activated, and do we have proof of continuity of government?
Yeah, we do, actually, which is pretty cool, something that just happened recently. But first things first, I think a lot of people right now you know, this stuff's so complex. It's so vast. It's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of rapid fire movement with those pieces. And I think that people, you know, the thing that I get the most is what is a continuity government? And it's exactly what it says. But ironically, they actually changed the name in the actual documents. They actually call it a continuity of operational plan. But it's and of course, the recent, I always put quotes around it because everything under quotes either means it's a facade or it's an optic or anything like that. But the most recent indictment of President Trump down in the Miami charade, as I call it, actually the documents they showed to the world actually proves continuity of government, and it proves the military occupancy with what was on that paper. What was on that document, it said continuity of operational plans, military operations. So that was kind of cool in a different way, because if you know what's going on, well, a continuity government, continuity of operational plan means that the president has a presidential policy directive in place that keeps the national essential functions of the three branches of government functioning. They're to perform their national essential functions, so like a defense budget, things of that nature. They just focus on what needs to happen to continuation of government while a devolution takes place and a reconstitution. And the devolution term, I know you've heard this before, and I know I have, but a lot of people out there call devolution a conspiracy theory. Well, the Federal Continuity Directive 1, there's FCD 1 and FCD 2. Those are like your canopies, your two. One of them is the outline, the other one's the implementation phase. That one was issued January 17th, 2017, which obviously was 3 days before President Trump took the oath. In bullet point 3 in that document, it says to start with this one. So there's been other continuity directives put into place for years. As a matter of fact, I was on a show a couple of weeks ago with one of the guys who was actually, he's helped type some of these up. He's a Marine Corps veteran. And that's what he did, was he helped type some of these continuity directives up. But how do you know where to start? Well, the January 17, 2017 FCD1 says in bullet point 3 to start with this one, and everything preceding this is null and void. And then the FCD2 came out June 13, 2017. So that shows you a continuity, all pun intended, because January 17th, 2017, June 13, 2017, before Donald Trump took office and while he's in office. That is the implementation phase. They post these on the Federal Register, where they post all the executive documents, where they post all the executive orders. That's all public information. The operational dates of the first one is listed. They're both listed on the Federal Register. The operational dates of the first one was 2018 to 2022. And the second one is 2020, so an overlap there to 2024. Now, that doesn't mean that we got to go to December 31st, 2024, but those are operational dates of those. And to know they've been activated, well, there's two powers in the U.S. There's the military, and there's the federal government. Well, when the federal government is under a continuity government, that means the three branches of government, so you're legislative branch, which is your Congress, your executive branch, which is your president, your vice president, the cabinet, presidency, and then you have the judicial branch, which are all your court systems, the Supreme Court. When they're under a continuity government, that means they're not in power. So when they're not in power, that means the Constitution's put on pause. And the Law of War Manual, which just so happened was reissued June 12, 2015, 4 days before Donald Trump came down the escalator to announce his candidacy for 2016. I mean, no coincidences. The Law of War Manual is the Department of Defense's manual. The military occupancy and military occupation. And we have plenty of proof of that as the last election, November the 4th, Fox News put an article out, big article, that the National Guard were going to be around all the voter precincts on election day. All right, well, 11.4, go to chapter 11.4 in the Law of War Manual. It talks about this stuff. Now, it doesn't talk in layman's terms in the law of war manual, because the law of war manual was actually written by military and federal attorneys. All right, so it's going to talk in legality sense. It's going to talk about a belligerent power, belligerence. It's going to talk about a military occupancy. It's going to talk about the occupying power. It's going to talk about that kind of terminology. It's not going to read, oh, well, the National Guard is going to be out there on voter day. It don't read like Forrest Gump from Alabama.
Hmm.
All right, it's going to read in legality term. So the law of war manual steps up to the plate. And the military, when people hear military, they hear their son who was a private first class or a PV2 or a private or a specialist. They hear that. We're talking about the generals, right? I don't have my keys on me, but I always pull my keys out and I wave the keys around. I say, who holds the keys to all the bases, right? Well, the military works from a chain of command from the top down. So the generals, well, who is the commander of the generals? Commander in chief. And so when you think of, you got to understand our history and foundation, then that's when someone has to go, okay, well, the military was established first. Our founders established a military first. They established a war article, which would actually be military law, and regulations. They established that long before the Declaration of Independence, long before our first Constitution, which was the Articles of Confederation, and long before the second Constitution, which is one we go by now.
That was a good place to stop, folks. Now, I encourage you to go out and listen to that interview. And everything you hear Derek Johnson talking about is true. I went to his website, and you can go there and find some of this, folks. I have those right here. It's called Rattletrap1776.com. Rattle like as in rattlesnake, Rattletrap1776.com. Or the other site he maintains is documents.info. So everything he said there is true. The President of the United States is one function of this individual that occupies the White House. His other function is as commander-in-chief, and they stand alone. They stand separately. Now, like I said, you can learn a lot more by listening to this. And Derek's done a few other interviews with the Spotlight, and he's also been all over the internet right now. And you can learn a lot about devolution over at Badlands Media. So why am I talking about this? Well, President John F. Kennedy set about to destroy the security state. And he was trying to deconstruct the Federal Reserve when he was suddenly destroyed by the security state. And, you know, if you understand what's going on with the JFK assassination, the Warren Commission report is a lie. And JFK was actually assassinated by the CIA. And the only politician, when they were celebrating one of the anniversaries of JFK, who couldn't remember where he was that day, was George Bush I, who was the head of the CIA. Strange, huh, folks? Anyways, long story short, JFK had this National Security Presidential Directive number 51, which was going to wrest the power of the security agencies away from this rogue portion of government. And this rogue portion of government's doing a lot more, as we're going to find out a little bit later in the Outer Limits. Now, think about some of the things that happened after the election in 2020, prior to the inauguration. We had President Trump take Special Forces operator Christopher Miller and replace Mark Esper as Secretary of Defense. Now, why would you do that if you're going to be leaving office in 30 or 40 days? Why? Why would you do that? Well, think about it, folks. And then after the inauguration, and after all that had happened on J6, there were these complex erections that were being built right in front of the White House. Do you remember that? And the lights were out in the White House. And Biden was locked out of the White House. And all the Department of Defense briefings. And we find out later that he was actually doing a lot of his Oval Office talks from a set. And that's all. Go out there and search it on the internet right now, and you'll see that all of this is true. What was going on, folks? Well, I am going to contend that these are all the markings of a military dictatorship. It's not much different from Nazi Germany. So the elite have us working here in this false paradigm. On the left, you have the neo-Marxists, And on the right, you have the MAGA crowd. And the neo-Marxists call the MAGA crowd the fascists, and the fascists call the neo-Marxist crowd the left, the neo-Marxists. And what you're working in is a small subset of reality, and it's not what the founders had planned, although the founders kept us in a little subset of reality too, but that's a story for another day. So the elite want us playing in this false paradigm here with the imposter in chief, Joe Biden, and his neo-Marxists on the left. And then on the right, we have the real commander in chief, Donald Trump, and the fascists. And neither, like I said, are what this nation was established upon, because neither maintain the balance of power between Congress, the courts, and the president of the United States. But enough said on this right now, folks. I'm just telling you, I think that Nathan over at Watchman's Cry is right on. But right now, we have to keep moving. And it's time for Sister Kathy's and Brother Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as we do every week, folks, let's get started with our coronavirus heist update.
The coronavirus, COVID-19, pandemic, it's a scam-demic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know this all their lives are mind control.
It is a big scam-demic, folks, and if you've been listening to SDG for any time now, you know that since early 2020, when we reformatted the show from a Bible study message to this news update followed by the Word of God's position on the matter, pretty much proven that this pandemic was nothing more than a multifaceted, fifth-dimensional, non-kinetic war, a ploy that's been waged upon we the people. And one element of it is beta testing the receptivity of the masses for compliance, for going along to get along, for doing what they're mandated to do, which is not a law, folks, as we've all learned. And today, in the coronavirus heist update, instead of focusing on all the fallout from these bioweapons, you know, the virus and the death jabs, let's look at what's up next, or maybe what was the precursor to all of this. Now, I don't know about you, but at our home here in Western Pennsylvania, we started receiving these postcards over the last several weeks promoting this new mass DNA sampling program titled the All of Us Research Program. And I have two of the postcards here, and I posted it up on the banner for this particular episode on Blog Talk Radio. And they have a picture of loved ones. What health story does your DNA tell? So they have a big circle around their heads and their upper torso, upper body. And they say at the bottom, find out with All of Us research program. So just exactly what is this, you know? What is this? Well, I'm going to tell you what it is, folks. The federal government to collect all of our DNA data.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Paul. I'm very serious, but why are you so upset? These are postcards coming from the government, and they want to help us. Well, at least that's what they say. So what just exactly is this All of Us research program? Well, I went to their website and did a little digging, and any of you can do that, folks. And if you go out there, you're going to find this little nice promotional YouTube video, and it's titled, let me see if I have the title here. Why do we do this? I believe it is. It's cut off short here on my screen with my stream deck, but let's just listen to their little federal government propaganda happy piece about the All of Us research program, where they're collecting the DNA samples of literally millions of Americans all across the land.
So I will get friends and other people emailing to me saying, you know, why are you doing this All of Us research program? Why are you spending taxpayer dollars to go do this program? What's it about? And I think those are great questions. And I kind of answer it in three ways, kind of from a patient perspective, a provider perspective, and a researcher perspective. And if we start just with what all of us experience as patients, the vast majority of us do not have access to precision medicine-based cures because this field is in its infancy. Great progress in some places like cancer, but the vast majority of conditions don't have a path to figure out what can I possibly take as this individual who's unique. And that means we're all still treated as the average of the people who happen to have been studied with your particular condition. And we're kind of in this one-size-fits-all medicine. And that means, especially if you have a complex illness, a lot of trial and error, right? Side effects from this drug. No, that didn't work. Let's try this one. Let's try this one. And everything in the care system is well-intentioned. But man, suffering through that expensive and painful trial and error is not a great way to live as a country. Now let's think about the providers, right? Not a great way to live for them either. They've got more and more pressure to see more patients per day. Half the time they don't even have the like complete medical history of that patient that's right in front of them saying, please help me. And then they don't have that much science and evidence behind a lot of the conditions that they're expert in to be able to know exactly how do I deliver care to right here and right now to this patient. And on top of that, they've then got the challenge of, at the same time, there's huge amounts of new scientific discovery that are coming in literally every day. They'd have to sit around reading all the time and never lay hands on a patient to keep up with the latest scientific literature. And then the third piece of this is the researchers. We have observed biomedical researchers at the cutting edge of precision medicine, sometimes getting 3, 4, 5-year grants and awards, but they'll spend 40 to sometimes 70 or 80% of that time on building up the IT infrastructure, the computing and the data, and how do I secure the data? And they'll spend even more time trying to recruit people to participate in that study. You know, 85% of clinical trials have to stop early because they can't recruit enough people to be part of that. So that's an enormous cost and drain. And as soon as you get your award done, you know, you get a little bit of science on that award, and all of a sudden you got to start over with the next one. Start again. Here we go. We got to build up the cohort. We got to build the technology. We got to build the research protocol. This public resource of the All of Us research program says, get to the research faster. We're going to hand you one of the largest cohorts in the world that will be the most diverse. You don't have to go recruit anybody. We're going to hand you a bunch of data that's already been cleaned and curated and made it easy for the researchers to use that. And we're going to hand you the computing and technology and infrastructure you don't have to spend your time on. Get to the science faster. And if those researchers get to the science faster, then those providers will have more options to offer to that patient standing in front of them saying, help me, cure me. And we as patients will have more options, less trial and error, and more specificity to get it right the first time when we walk in saying, help me, cure me.
Wow, that sounds so amazing. It sounds so wonderful. And you know, at face it is. It is very good. Now, as I research the All of Us, and isn't it interesting how all of us could also be all of the United States DNA collection program? I made two curious observations. First, how both the mainstream and the alt media have reported on this. And I'd just like to play that for you.
What? What? Are you serious? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
That's right, Paul. Virtually no news coverage on the mainstream media for this All of Us DNA collection program, and nothing from the alt media on the dark side of this program. I couldn't find a single article unless they've all been wiped from the internet. Now, the cheerleaders for the massive data grab will argue that they have benefits of what they call precision medicine. So just exactly what is precision medicine? Well, there was a clip out there on the website, allofusnih.gov website, and you can find it out there under the About tag. It's the program overview. And here's what they have to say about precision medicine.
What is precision medicine? Like, everybody asks me this. My parents are like, what is precision medicine that you're working on? And the easiest way for me to describe it is today, with good intentions, our doctors and care providers basically do one-size-fits-all medicine. And this is what we're trying to get rid of by doing this All of Us research study and creating data that allows medicine and health and treatment and prevention to be customized or individualized for you based on really three big elements. Your sort of lifestyle, you know, the places that you've lived, you know, your behavior, are you a big exerciser, how do you eat, your environment, you know, have you lived in an environment of enormous stress all your life? Have you lived in a part of the country that has more smog than others, and what's that impact been? And then your genetics and your biology. What's going on with your own body? What's your health history, for one thing, but also what's your genetic makeup, and how is that going to actually impact or potentially impact your future health? Today, we don't really have the ability to pull in data from this, this, and this, and understand it at a scientific level, and we don't have the capability of doing this for you as an individual. So precision medicine is really about individualizing treatment, prevention, and care for you based on these kinds of complex factors. And we think it's going to have a powerful impact on keeping people healthy in the first place, or helping to find cures for an individual, because we're all unique.
I'm so sorry here, folks. I was sitting here talking and my mic was muted. I do apologize for that. So everything you heard him say there in that promo piece was true. Remember when we covered Tony Robbins' new book, Life Force? Well, this is exactly what Tony's wellness centers do when they map your genome and tailor make a wellness program just for you. And you know what the fee for that is? It's thousands upon thousands of dollars to establish the baseline. But like is always the case, folks, the devil's in the details. Now, the other thing I learned, I told you I learned two things. First of all, this wasn't covered by either the mainstream media or the alt media, as I did a deep dive into what's out there on the web. And then I learned, this is something that's very shocking. I learned in a very neutral thread over at Reddit on this All of Us program, I learned that this program has been around for over 5 years.
Shazam!
That's right, Gomer. Can anyone say engineered bioweapons as in the failed mirrors of a decade ago? So think about this. The federal government began collecting DNA data on the American, and I should say Western populations, because most of us are descendants of Western Europe. The federal government began collecting DNA data over 5 years ago, before the scamdemic. And do you remember what happened with MERS? Now, MERS is the acronym for Middle Eastern Acute Respiratory Syndrome, just like SARS is the Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome. So the Department of Defense engineered this bioweapon back in the, I guess it was around 2010, don't quote me on the actual time, to release an agent into the Middle Eastern battlefield to disable Middle Easterners. Hence, you get the term MERS, but it was a flop. Folks, I think the establishment used the All of Us DNA collection. Remember where it was collected and promoted? Over at the NIH. I think they used the DNA collection program to hack, and this is so sick, but I believe they used it to hack the MERS technology and retune it against Westerners. Now, I'm going to keep digging on this, but remember, you heard it first here on episode 615 of SDG titled 2023 Endgame Update Number 31. But right now, we have to keep moving, and it's time for our Kabuki Theater Update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabu Theater. We got a new comedy. It's all boo. Means dance. He means skill from the verb. Kabu means you slam or display. Folks, it's all a lot. It's the flatten the curve. The curve of the economy, stupid. Must slow down the velocity of money. Or the hyperinflation. Take before they're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go good, bad, bad. Bad is good. Pop is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabu Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030. And the new world just say no to it all. And wake up before it's too late.
So as I hope you're all starting to see, all of this chaos and confusion that we're witnessing in the mainstream media is by design. Remember, Ordo Ab Chao, that's their marching orders from their chief himself, Satan. So could they be the beast's friendly sidekick, also known as the false prophet? Well, perhaps, but more on that at the end of the episode. So right now, I hope you're all convinced that the chaos and confusion we see all around us in the mainstream media is by design. It's almost as if it's in Operation Lockstep. You know, what we first witnessed in this worldwide march towards totalitarianism, we saw it everywhere with the scamdemic. And it was in that Rockefeller document that I have in the little video I put together on the coronavirus heist that went viral when Sherry Tenpenny posted it, and then I got throttled by Twitter. Story, folks. But anyways, it's almost as if Operation Lockstep is continuing to move forward. But now they've changed the topic. So now there's more and more in the mainstream, and even in congressional hearings this past week, about UFOs and little green men, also known as non-human biologics. Did you hear about any of this? Just this past week, Congresswoman Nancy Mace from South Carolina was in a congressional hearing, and she discovered under sworn testimony that non-human biological pilots were recovered from crashed UFOs. You just can't make this stuff up. So here we are in a Senate hearing, a congressional hearing, and we have the conversation concerning UFOs and little green men.
Really?
That's right, Alvin, really. So this next clip, I have Congresswoman Nancy Mace hearing testimony from an expert witness named Mr. Grush. So let's listen to this, and I have some comments on the other side.
Intelligent extraterrestrials.
Something I can't discuss in public setting.
Okay, I can't ask when you think this occurred. if you believe we have crashed craft, stated earlier, do we have the bodies of the pilots who piloted this craft?
As I've stated publicly already in my News Nation interview, biologics came with some of these recoveries, yeah.
Were they, I guess, human or non-human biologics?
Non-human, and that was the assessment of people with direct knowledge on the program I talked to that are currently still on the program.
And was this documentary evidence, this video, photos, eyewitness? Like, how would that be determined?
The specific documentation I would have to talk to you in a skiff about.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So, and you may or may not be able to answer my last question, and maybe we get into a skiff at the next hearing that we have, but who in the government either, what agency, sub-agency, what contractors, who should be called into the next hearing about UAPs, either in a public setting or even in a private setting? And you probably can't name names, but what agencies or organizations, contractors, et cetera, do we need to call in to get these questions answered, whether it's about funding, what programs are happening, and what's out there?
I can give you a specific cooperative and hostile witness list of specific individuals that were in those.
And how soon can we get that list?
I'm happy to provide that to you after the hearing.
Super. Thank you. And I yield back.
So let me give you the backstory on that clip you just heard, folks. That was Congresswoman Nancy Mace on the House Oversight and Accountability Subcommittee. It was a hearing on UFOs, and it was held on Wednesday, July 26th, folks, 2023. This was in Capitol Hill, a UFO hearing. And we hear about little green men, non-human biological pilots being recovered from crashed, unidentified anomalous phenomenon, or UAPs, as they call them. Now, we can't talk about this here. We have to do it in a skiff. And what's a skiff? Well, that's a secure debriefing where there's no cameras, no recording devices, no papers and pencils. It's just a one-on-one, face-to-face debriefing. And folks, we covered a lot of this on Tribulation Now when Sister Kathy and I worked with John. But then unfortunately, John pulled a nutty and deleted all of our archived work. We worked on this from 2010 till 2016. So we had close to 7 years of all sorts of great episodes where I could have referred you back to, but they're all gone. And you can thank John for that. So anyways, I've got a bit of a background on this. And this Congresswoman, Nancy Mace, vowed to get to the bottom of this. She wants to actually have tangible evidence that she can touch. So just who is this Mr. Grush that we heard of in this last clip? Well, there's an article published on 7/28/23 over at the independent.co.uk, and it's titled House UFO Hearing Probes Alien Technology Defying Laws of Physics. And stay together here with me, folks. Don't tune me out, because we have more details on this in the Outer Limits episode, a portion of the episode. So this David Grush is a former intelligence officer in the U.S. Air Force and National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. He spent 14 years working as an intelligence officer. So this guy has a little bit of background, let's say that, okay? And he can also be doing deep fake on us. Now, he's offered some of the most fantastic claims during this hearing, and he focused on these biologics recovered from unidentified anomalous phenomenon, or the UAPs. So just stay with me here, okay? This was a congressional UAP hearing just last week on Capitol Hill when David Grush decided to blow the whistle on the U.S. government after he learned of others coming forward. Claim was that they currently are reverse engineering this alien technology. Well, the truth is, folks, if you study this at all, that they've been doing this for over 75 years. And this isn't like ancient alien technology. This is what's known as fallen angel technology. And it's depicted in Genesis chapter 4, which gives us in the latter part of chapter 4, the lineage of what I like to call the baddies. So here you can learn about all the technologies just suddenly appeared on the scene here on this creation of gods. So if you go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 20 through 24, you'll see in verse 20 that Ada bare Jabal, who was the father of herders. So they became ranchers, so to speak, and they raised cattle. And then Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, and he was an expert in metallurgy and all sorts of other manufacturing technologies. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Now, there was another guy in verse 23 named Lamech, and he said to his two wives, "Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding, a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold." Folks, this is the foundation of the curse of Canaan that we covered last week. You know, Noah's grandson out of Ham, who was cursed. But we got to get back to Mr. Grush right now, okay? So Grush said in this hearing, "I was informed in the course of my official duties of a multi-decade UAP crash retrieval and reverse engineering program to which I was denied access." Well, this is more than a multi-decade. This is like a 75-year, three-quarter of a century program. And then he further stated that a UAP the size of a football field, I mean, picture how massive that is. It's like something from Star Wars. And it's being concealed somewhere out in Area 51 or wherever. He couldn't say. He had to tell it to the congresswoman in a skiff. And then he went on to say that non-human biologics were discovered piloting these crashed UAPs. Folks, some of these are cyborgs that have been engineered by man, and the others that everybody calls aliens are actually Nephilim. And you could read about Nephilim in Genesis chapter 6. So Mr. Grush made it very clear that he wasn't a witness to any of these claims. He's merely reporting what he researched while he was an intelligence officer. So this UFO and little green man narrative is just more kabuki theater, folks. I mean, Ronald Reagan even got into it back in the 80s when he addressed the UN General Assembly. And I'm going to read what he said. In our obsession with antagonisms of the moment, we often hear how much unites all the members of humanity. Perhaps we need more. We need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. Well, folks, stay tuned because we're going to deep dive into that in the Back to the Future segment of today's show. And you're going to hear it in Reagan's own words. But I'm telling you, bottom line, this whole UFO Green Man narrative right now is a scam, no different than the scamdemic. I'm not saying these things aren't real, but they aren't what they're telling you they are. And this entire alien invasion narrative that we're going to start hearing will be the biggest deception yet to be foisted upon humanity. I'm telling you, folks, these are fallen angels, and the UFOs are either fallen angel technology or reversed engineered technologies that have been man-made. So they're either fallen angel tech or man-made tech that's been engineered from the fallen angel tech. And a good friend of mine, Dr. Jerry, boy, I just forgot his last name. We had him on some of the shows, and Brother Zen interviewed him. He called them Ziffs. Maybe I can dig into that a little bit. I'm telling you, the truth is, the greatest deception Satan has ever achieved is to get modern man to believe that he doesn't exist. I mean, we even have Alex Jones out there warning us about the little green men. And when you start hearing them talk about it, watch out. Let's listen to a collage of Alex Jones's warnings that was over on TikTok.
When they pull their UFO invasion thing, you know, buddy, it's bad. And there's a lot of angles this I'm already covering. See, I'll cover next hour. That's how I analyze, scan all this stuff back. When they roll out that the little green men are real, and when they tell you that they're way advanced than us and they're everywhere, the New World Order is about to go into overdrive. And notice, they've rolled out the poison shots. The borders are wide open. Two men can have a baby. Pedophilia is everywhere. And now the little green men.
So there you have it. Even Alex Jones is in on it. But it just didn't start this summer, folks. This goes back. This goes way back. Remember Roswell? I mean, you can even see it in some of the paintings of the Renaissance painters. You'll see a little UFO up in the right upper right hand or left hand or center of the painting. What's that all about? And you can see allusions to this in the Bible too, like the will in wills of Ezekiel, or when the heavens rolled back and King David was writing that poem about the heavens rolling back and the thunder. You know, this is alien technology. This is fallen angel technology relabeled as alien technology. Now, this next clip has been around since 2013. And I think we played it on one of the old Trib Now shows. Well, it's back in the circuit today, folks. It's become vogue again. So let's set the context for this next clip. This was a meeting of, I forget what it was, some sort of hearing up in Canada. And this is the former Canadian Minister of Defense, Paul Hellyer. It was a citizens' hearing. It took place in April 2013. So listen to Paul Hellyer bringing the little green man narrative into the depopulation agenda.
If you'll indulge me, I'd like to read two pages from advice from the extraterrestrials. Yes, it's true that we have been in contact with your government and heads of power. It is also true that we have been in it is also true that agreements have been made and kept secret from your people. It is also true that in the past, some of your people have lost their lives or have been badly hurt to protect this secret. Our hands had no part in this. We contacted your leaders because your planet is in grave trouble. Your leaders said the vast majority of your population wasn't ready for anything like us yet. So we made time agreements with your leaders as to when your people would be made aware of our presence. Your air, your water are contaminated. Your forests, jungles, trees, and plant life are dying. There are several breaks in your food chain. You have an overwhelming amount of nuclear and biological weapons, which include nuclear and biological contamination. Your planet is overpopulated. Warning, it is almost to the point of being too late, unless your people act. There are better ways of deriving energy and food needs without causing your planet any damage. Those in power are aware of this and have the capability of putting these methods into worldwide use. Those in power view it as a military and security threat. That upset me. You mean to tell me that the people in power have the ability to save and better the planet, and they aren't doing it? Amnesty. What do you mean? Complete amnesty to those in power, governments and leaders who have been suppressing the truth, that they can't be held liable for any past wrong deeds. It is the only way these leaders can come forward with the truth. It is necessary that you do this in order to work together and survive.
Now, there was some truth in there, and there was some propaganda in there. Let me just talk about the truth for a minute. There are better energy source technologies. One's called Zero Point, and we're going to get more into that in the Outer Limits, so stay tuned. And right now, folks, I don't know which false narrative is getting more press. Is it the climate change or these UFOs and little green men? Well, why don't you do some research? Go out there and you decide. Maybe it's this Hunter Biden, Donald J. Trump indictment seesaw. You know, every time there's a news drop concerning something else that's been proven in the congressional investigations concerning the corruption of Hunter Biden and the Biden crime regime, right away, like within the next 24 hours, there's another indictment dropped by President Trump. In fact, did you see that? Did you see that chart that's out there right now showing this very chilling correlation? So what's it all about? Well, I'm telling you what it's about, folks. It's about control, and I call control kabuki theater. They control the money system. Try to fight it and you die. Look at what happened to JFK. They control the intelligence system. JFK was murdered by the CIA. They control the medical system, folks. Try to fight it and try to show some alternative treatments and therapies, and you get debanked and debunked like Dr. Mercola. Try to control the political machine, and you'll get debanked like Nigel Farage was, and we covered that. Try to fight the political machine, even if it's in the false narrative of that left-right paradigm I was talking about earlier in the show, and you get indicted on all sorts of trumped-up charges, pun intended, folks. Look what they're doing to Trump right now. And they control the media, which I'm beginning to believe more and more is the false prophet. Try to fight it, and you could lose your job, or even worse, you could die like that rapper Tupac did, or get toppled like Ye did. Remember Kanye West, who's now going by the moniker Ye? He spoke out about the Edomites, and look what happened to him. Well, I have a clip right now that was from another rapper, and I didn't get his name. I was trying to dig to get his name, but I couldn't get it. But just listen to this. There's a ton of truth in this, and this is the real reason that Tupac was killed by the Khazarian Mafia. Have a listen.
I talked to Brother Tupac, the youngster, 2 days before he was killed. The rift between me and Biggie, that ain't real. He said, they're creating that. But here's the next thing he said to me. He said, Frank, what me and Biggie want to do is take control of distribution of rap music. I said, oh, boy, do you know what you're going up against? Do you understand the organized criminal networks you're going up against and the two major ethnic groups that run it? He said, yeah, we do. I said, well, you and Biggie can't do no shit like this. He said, we're not alone. We are organizing other young rappers. And he was dead within 48 hours of that conversation I had with him. You heard Michael Jackson calling some people off. He was trying to tell you. Sam Cooke was calling him off before Sam was murdered. He was trying to tell us way back then, 1964. But we haven't been listening because we didn't have enough people in this thing to really see. But history will erase the mystery. All of us who want to judge Kanye studied the history of the music industry.
I love that line. History will erase the mystery. I should have Terry do me a little calligraphy on that one. So who were these two ethnic groups that Franck, the man you heard in there, and I'm trying to find out who Franck is. He looks like he's another rapper. Well, they were the Edomites, and they were the Mafia. And they took out people like Michael Jackson, Sam Cooke, Prince, Yee. Now, what's surprising me is that Tom McDonald and a few other rappers have somehow managed to survive. Have you heard some of the latest videos out there by Tom McDonald? And there's another rapper. I just forgot his name. He's doing the same thing. Folks, I'm not into rap music, but I'll tell you what. It's catching my ear lately. Now, do you remember the Will of Cain? We talked about that. The five things did Caden charge his sons? And I'm taking this right out of the Talmud, folks. This is right out of the Edomites Talmud. Love one another, so keep the love in the clan, so to speak. Intermarry, interbreed. Love robbery, love lewdness. Hate your masters, and who is the masters? Well, go back and read the curse that Noah put upon Ham. And you'll understand that. And do not speak the truth. You can find this at PES 113B in the Talmud. So the Will of Canaan has been the Canaanites' prescription, their marching orders for the last 3,000 years, folks. Meanwhile, the people of Shem, that's you and me, folks. We know nothing about this evil document. We know nothing about the Canaanites' evil ways. And we vainly try to convert the Canaanites to our faith, you know, and turn them from their evil ways. These are the folks that God told the Israelites to banish from the land. These are the folks that God told the Israelites to destroy. You know, when you read Genesis chapter 15 and you look at the covenant established between God and Abram, you'll see all the ites. These were the descendants of Cain, folks. Yet we know little of these evil documents that are driving this global agenda for the last 3,000 years. How's that scripture about the leopard and his spots go? Oh, yeah, that's right. This is in Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23. Can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard his spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. So understand, folks, that the reason the scorpion stings is because it's in his nature. And the reason these evil, wicked people do what they do is because it's in their nature. Some things just don't change, folks, but we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for our money segment, which is titled Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Follow the Yellow Brick, follow the Yellow Brick, follow the Yellow Brick Road. You're up to see the river, the wonderful river above. You find the end of the river, the wind, if ever a river was. If ever a river was, there was the river of Oz. It won because of the wonderful things he has. You're off to see the river, the wonderful river of Oz.
Now, all of this is moving lockstep towards the Mark of the Beast. But Nigel Farage was on Breitbart, and he said that the banks are running social media checks right now. So what is a social media check? Well, remember, Nigel Farage, we covered, he was the Brexit leader who took Britain out of the European Union, and then he was recently debanked because of his risk factors as a person of political something or another, a PEEP, I think it was called. A politically exposed person, that's what it was. So these too big to fail banks are working with credit agencies to roll out what they call word checks. And what do? Well, they work hand in hand, lockstep, with these other private organizations, you know, big social media platforms, to go and do word checks on some of their applicants that want to use banking services. And what they're doing here is assessing how worthy you are of using their banking facilities. Now, folks, in this modern world, it's nearly impossible to function without a bank account. I do have some employees for various credit reasons. They've bounced a lot of checks, and they have a network now between the banks that if you establish a checking account to deposit your paycheck, what ends up happening is they'll sweep your account. So if you wrote $1,500 in bad checks, closed out your account, and stuck the bank for $1,500, well, when you go to try to open a new one and deposit your paycheck, they sweep it until you pay your past bad checks, along with all the penalties and fees. So anyways, folks, Nigel Farage is out there with his new freedom of speech campaign, and it's gaining momentum. He's exposing some of these banksters and their fraud and what they're doing. And I often wonder how many of these banks would fail if all the conservatives took the money out of it. Well, the truth is that the banks are so interconnected that if we did that, the entire system, if we caused the run on the banks, the entire system would collapse. Right now, it's so important that you get decentralized. That's what I think some of the privacy coins are good with. And I'm not advocating cryptocurrency, folks, but I do think that that may be the new platform. And also, you know, these centrally based websites like what I use on BTR, they could be shut down by the government. There's a new technology out there that's very similar to the Pirate Bay technology, the Napster, that was the genesis for Spotify, or actually what drove Spotify to become a platform, where you use nodes or peer-to-peer networking. So as long as there's the internet, which they need to run their control grid, you can have peer-to-peer networking. I think that's the way to go, and I'm actually looking into it, both to conduct commerce and also, like, commerce is a bad word. Let me just say to buy and sell things, because I am not a commercial entity, and that's what commerce is. So I take that back so that I can buy and sell things as a private individual, and also to preserve all of these podcasts that we're doing and all the information that we've been archiving on Blog Talk Radio. So anyways, Nigel Farage is out there doing all this right now. And I'm telling you, folks, everything we see from all the different topics we covered here are all part of the march towards the Mark of the Beast system. And you could read about that in Revelation chapter 18, and maybe we should cover that on a future episode. Let me know if you think that'd be valuable. But I see it all coming together right now, folks. But right now, it's time for our Outer Limits segment.
There is nothing wrong with your television set. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. If we wish to make it softer, we will tune it to a whisper. We will control the horizontal. We will control the vertical. We can roll the image, make it flutter. We can change the focus to a soft blur or sharpen it to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit quietly and we will control all that you see and hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your television set. You are about to participate in a great adventure. You are about to experience the awe and mystery which reaches from the inner mind to the outer limits.
Now, before I get started on this next piece, I've had a lot of listeners say, bro, Ken, why do you play all those clips between the segments? You waste all that time. Folks, this is a one-man show over here. And although I do have this, the Stream Deck XL, and I have the Rodecaster Pro, and I do have multiple computer screens, three screens in front of me right now. I should take a shot and put it up on the banner sometime. I do have to catch my breath, so to speak. Keep my voice working, and I have to call up my notes here and get everything queued up. So that's why I do it. Please, please give me some grace on this matter, okay? So this next clip is a clip that was taken the YouTube world by surprise, and I'm going to be shocked if this doesn't get deplatformed. But it's Stephen Greer. He's an emergency physician, so an ER physician, a trauma expert who has been out there for, I think, about three decades now. And we covered a lot of the Stephen Greer information back on the old Tribulation Now show, you know, the ones that John deleted. I could have just been playing these clips had he not taken them all down. but I don't want to get worked up over that. So what Stephen Greer said with this is I'm exposing the whole thing before they can stop it. So in this clip, and we're going to play part one this week. It's going to be a long clip, about 10 minutes. You're going to hear Stephen Greer delve into the deepest secrets of the classified world. And I'm telling you, this is earth-shattering, okay? He's exposing the extreme secrecy surrounding advanced technologies and spacecraft. And he's revealing that even the president of the United States and the director of the CIA are denied access to these things. So this is the deep state that JFK warned us about, Eisenhower warned us about, President Trump talks about. There are things that are being run rogue by some of our bureaucracy here in the United States. Now, contrary to everything you may believe, it's not just ETs, okay? There's all sorts of things that are suppressed. Tesla technology. Tesla technology is suppressed technology, folks. So Greer's unveiling and revealing all of this in this clip. So I'm just telling you, buckle your seatbelts this week and next during the Outer Limits, and we're going to listen to part one this week and part two next week. And, you know, if we could get some of this stuff out into the general public's hands, this would be like dropping a bomb. I mean, gravity control has been mastered since the 50s. Did you know that? And there are these high voltage systems and the zero point energy of the Earth. Tesla had the Wardcliffe experiment over in New Jersey, that was funded by J.P. Morgan just as he was bringing on the transmission of power through the Westinghouse technology that beat Edison out, alternating current versus DC current. And then after he was defunded, he went out west and he did it in Denver. This is all in the literature, folks. But I'm telling you, this is literally the ultimate journey into the Outer Limits. So without any further ado, let's listen to the first half of this bombshell video that's out there on YouTube by Stephen Greer.
It's classified beyond the normal briefing for the president. The president of the United States and the director of the CIA were being denied access. We actually are living in a situation where the extreme secrecy Eisenhower warned us about, the worst of that has come to fruition, and frankly, no one is reporting that, certainly not the mainstream news media. There are sociopaths who are in super secret projects that don't want us to have it. I'm working now to try to bring this information and, more equally importantly, the technologies that are behind these spacecraft and things that are being reported on CNN now, because what the public isn't being told is that we have, in fact, figured out how those objects operate, and that would give us an entirely new and advanced civilization where we would not need fossil fuels, oil or gas or coal or nuclear power. So it's a very big story. Most people think the secrecy around this is because the government has just been incompetent. That's not true. That narrative is a false narrative. The true narrative is that, I will quote from a top secret memo released during the past few decades, but it was dated 1951. And it stated that the subject was the most classified matter in the U.S. government, exceeding the classification of the development of the hydrogen bomb, I'm quoting. So a lot of people think this is about aliens. I said, no, it's not about ETs. It's about humans and how are humans going to get out of the conundrum we're in, which is a very serious problem, and move forward as a civilization instead of sliding backwards. The public thinks that, you know, God is in heaven and everything is in orbit and everything is, we actually are living in a situation where the extreme secrecy Eisenhower warned us about, the worst of that has come to fruition. And frankly, no one is reporting that, certainly not the mainstream news media. This is not just the United States, by the way. The same situation exists in Great Britain, Australia. I've met with ministers of defense in most of the Five Eyes countries, which are, of course, you know, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, Great Britain, U.S. I think this is the part of the story that people have a hard time, in a sense, getting their minds around, because we all grew up with our history lessons and our civic lessons and the president is the commander in chief and blah, blah, blah. In reality, the emperor has no clothes. And there are classified projects that go on, unfortunately, that are not supervised by the president or the Congress. And actually, the CIA director's wife, who at the time was the chief operating officer of the National Academy of Sciences, said to me during our 2 or 3 hour meeting with the CIA director, she turned to me, she said, how are these civilizations communicating across the vastness of interstellar space? Because the speed of light is too slow. And for people who aren't scientists on your viewership, let me explain. At the speed of light, to go 1% of the way across our own galaxy, the Milky Way, would take, which is 1,000 light years, which is the distance light goes at 186,000 miles every second for a year. That's one light year. 1,000 light years is 1% of the way across our galaxy, which is one galaxy amongst trillions. But at the speed of light, for you to even communicate and say, hey, how are you doing? And to answer back, that would be the time since the birth of Christ, 2,000 years, for that transmission to happen with what you and I are using right now on electromagnetic signals. So we knew as scientists and that there had to be something else that these civilizations were using. And what we discovered was that they have very, very sophisticated electronics. And this is, of course, what Elon Musk at Neuralink, he has a company called Neuralink, is working on, that interface with directed thought. Now, this is probably where I've lost half your audience. And they're going, what? What we had discovered is that, in fact, these civilizations that are from various star systems have technologies that Elon Musk could only dream about. In other words, they very accurately transmit and send and receive directed quanta of thought instead of an electromagnetic signal per se through what's called field consciousness. And the consciousness field is, I mean, it sounds very Buddhist or Vedic, but the consciousness field is actually not bound by space-time, space or time. And because of that, there's no limit on the speed of it. It's instantaneous because of what's called non-locality in physics. It's a bit obtuse and technical to get into probably here, but what non-locality means is that it's not based in the speed, the linear speed of light or the linear speed of sound or what have you. It's instantaneous because of the nature of conscious field, the field of consciousness. This is, to me, the most interesting stuff because this whole science of consciousness is actually the big science for the next 1,000 years, but we have to catch up to the last 70 to 100 years of energy and propulsion technologies that have been hidden away so we don't destroy the biosphere. Why are we still using jet engines from the 30s, 40s, 50s, or rockets from the 40s? I'm saying because the alternative would completely terminate the petrodollar system and oil and gas and coal and nuclear power and public utilities. All of it is redundant, completely unnecessary. Tesla actually had a prototype car that was pulling energy out of the environment. And he didn't really understand what that was. We do now. It's called zero point energy or quantum vacuum energy. But basically, just for people who are non-scientific, if you visualize a coffee cup, the amount of space inside that cup has enough energy to boil off all the oceans of the planet in its potential. And it's called the zero point energy field. It's been quantified. It was in academic papers in the 50s, so-called Professor Casimir effect. But Tesla stumbled across this way back, early 20s, I believe, maybe before. But J.P. Morgan said, look, if we can't put a meter on it, we don't want it. So Tesla died a very bitter man. I always joke that Elon Musk doesn't have a Tesla that he's manufacturing. He has a Musk. And the reason I say that sort of jokingly is that a true Tesla would never have to be plugged into the grid. It would be pulling energy out of this energy, this state of energy that's around us through very high voltage systems. They're called VHV, very high voltage systems that create an opening into that energy field. And Tesla did enough experimentation with these sort of very high voltage systems at certain resonant frequencies, cycles per second, hertz, that he broke into that area of science, but no one wanted it to come out. Now, you know, fast forward 100 years later, we're still burning gasoline in engines and rocket fuel and jets, and that's a tragedy for the human race, but it's a tragedy for the planet, and it's a tragedy for our children and my 9 grandchildren. So my concern is, you know, the future. The past is the past, but we have to figure out how to catch up sort of back to the future. It's like that cartoon show, The Jetsons, when they showed people flying around in these cars. When that cartoon was made, those technologies were already developed. They're not going to say, A, we know what these are. B, we know where they come from. C, we figured out how they work. Let me give you a date that's going to probably curl your toes. October 1954. That was the date we mastered gravity control. Now, what do I mean by gravity control? What I mean by gravity control are high voltage systems that cause an object to what looks like levitate or move the way that vehicle that you saw in that video released by the Pentagon this week. And they confirmed, yes, this is real footage. And they released 3 different videos. What they didn't say, because the people releasing it don't know this because of the compartmentalization, is that there is an unacknowledged compartmented program that began studying this in the 40s and 50s. And by 1954, had figured out how those things operate.
Let us know if there's aliens, because this is the only thing I really want to know. I want to know what's going on. Would you ever open up Roswell and let us know what's really going on?
You know, the President of the United States, since Eisenhower, has not been read into, which is military term for briefed, on what are called unacknowledged special access projects.
There are millions and millions of people that want to go there, that want to see it. I won't talk to you about what I know about it, but it's very interesting.
I don't believe he has particularly more information than some of the others. Like Ronald Reagan had quite a bit of information on the extraterrestrial and UFO subject, but the information was cherry-picked.
With a lot of people that would like to know what's going on.
So you're saying you may declassify, no. you'll take it?
Well, I'll have to think about that one.
So I know what is happening. Is that the people around him are elected to provide certain type of information.
That's a good place to stop. We'll pick that up next week with the second half, folks. So all I can say is, wow. You know, I could take every one of those comments that you heard Stephen Greer talk about there, and we can do an entire show on it. For example, directed thought, moving faster than the speed of light. That's prayer, folks. That is the ultimate cruise missile to the very heart of the enemy that he has no defensive system against. That's the power of prayer. It's not for old ladies and little kids in Sunday school. Prayer is powerful because it's harnessing directed thought through the only way into this realm, which is through Jesus Christ. And then the Tesla technologies he was talking about, folks. I remember years ago when I was still with PPG, I was a young researcher there it was probably the early 90s. Terry and I went up to Niagara Falls, and we stayed in this beautiful Tudor bed and breakfast right across the street from Goat Island. And I'd get up in the morning and walk across this little footbridge and go on to Goat Island. And there was this bust of Nikola Tesla. And I didn't even know about him yet. I was a PhD scientist. How come I didn't know about this guy? So when I got back to the research center, I researched all about him, and I was floored. I learned so much about suppressed energy technology that I couldn't believe the world I was living in. And that's when this whole paradigm came crashing down to me. You know, the toxicity of sodium fluoride that's been substituted for the good stuff, calcium fluoride, that prevents dental caries, to the lie of our money system, to all of the suppressed energy technology. You know, Nikola Tesla built the first generator that was harnessing hydroelectricity up at Niagara Falls. That's why his bust was there. But nobody taught me that, because if I knew about Nikola Tesla and I was an intuitive scientific type, I would do a little digging. And then it gets worse, folks. I'm in my graduate program and I'm working with my project. And I'm doing some work from Pons and Fleshman, where I was studying the scattering of light off the surface of an electrified electrode, so it was under a DC current. And my net energy balance was giving off more energy than the DC circuit put into the system along with the laser beam. I mean, orders of magnitude, more power were coming off. And when I took that to my advisor, And I said, I'm making some sort of mistake here. I have to go back and redo this. I'm getting much more power out of this equation than I'm putting in through the laser and the cyclic voltammogram, as it was called. So anyways, long story short, my advisor says to me, Ken, don't go there or you're never going to graduate. We were funded by Gulf, which then became known as Chevron. Folks, there's nothing special about me. I just happen to be in some very curious places at the right time. And I've got more and more stories like this. But I'm telling you, Dr. Stephen Greer is a truly inspiring man. He's emotionally stable. He's caring. He's empathetic. And he's intellectually and physically developed beyond most people. And he's a genuine gift to us all. Now, I don't know his faith, but we played a lot of his clips on the old show. And I'm telling you, that's a guy to study and follow. And another one is Bob Lazier. We talked about him a lot. God rest his soul. But we have to keep moving. And right now, folks, it's time for our Hopium Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
Now, this next story, I'm telling you, it's pure, unadulterated, uncut Hopium. And beware. Now, we first reported on the AI Jesus a few weeks ago, and that was fringe. You know, there were, what, 35 or 40,000 people over in, I think it was Germany, attending some church where they'd flash the AI Jesus up on the screen and he would preach and teach from the artificial intelligence's interpretation of the Bible. Well, it's getting worse. And over at Blazing Press, folks, I found this article and it's titled, More Than 35,000 Churches Sign Up for AI Services. So Glue is the tech platform that's being used. It's an algorithm-based AI in the church initiative. And the founder is a guy named Beck, and he says that it's been designed, and you ready for this, folks? It's been designed to release the power of God's grace and mercy, love, justice, compassion, and caring.
What?
Now, that's right, Paul. Can you believe this? So let's have a listen to Scott Beck of Boulder, Colorado. He's the founder and CEO of Glue Church AI on a recent interview on Fox News. Now, I didn't put this into my stream deck, so I'm going to try to play this right off the internet from the Blazing Press website. It's about a three-minute clip. Let's have a listen.
It can connect us closer to our faith. More than 38,000 churches have signed up for his company's survey designed to gauge leaders' understanding and use of artificial intelligence. Scott Beck is the founder and CEO of Glue, and he joins us now. Scott, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, delighted to be here. Thanks for having me on this morning.
So tell us about Glue.
Well, Glue is a tech platform that releases the collective might of the Big C Church. And when I say Big C Church, I mean all the different types of ministries, the relationship ministries, the marriage ministries, recovery, behavioral health, and it connects them all together so that they can work together to flourish, make more lives flourish.
So artificial intelligence merging with the church, this is an interesting concept in an age when we're also worried about artificial intelligence taking on godlike powers in society. You see this as a complement to God, not a threat to God?
Well, I mean, God isn't surprised by AI. He wasn't surprised by the printing press or television or the internet. And so, God allowed AI to come into existence. So, of course, we've got to be very, very concerned and make sure that we're thinking about privacy and security and the appropriate ethical use of AI. But he allowed it to come into existence. We assume that is a moral imperative for us to be able to then struggle with that to put it together for his use, for his purposes, so that people can flourish.
Some of this, Scott, may sound kind of abstract, but it's not, is it? I mean, you mentioned that if somebody, for instance, uses a keyword like suicide, that the algorithm kicks in immediately and does what?
Well, you know, what we do is we route people from all sorts of, let's say somebody calls into a radio station like K-Love, and they need some help and they need some prayer. Well, that then could get routed based on what that person needs, what they've written down or what they've said, with their permission to get them immediately to, let's say, a suicide prevention ministry. We're routing over 1,000 people a day. We've routed over 200,000 people, and we're using AI to make sure that they get connected to the right help, to be able to help them with whatever they need.
Well, I think one thing that's certainly true is with the rise of the technology age, we've seen this yearning for meaning. In a modern American society, that seems to be the hole inside everyone's heart. What is our purpose? And I would imagine AI is going to keep leading us in that same direction, which leads to even greater need for the church and greater need for God to answer that question. What is our meaning? What is our purpose? I hope you're right. I hope this is a step into connecting us closer to our faith. Thank you so much, Scott.
Thank you, Scott Beck.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Do you believe this, folks? Now, who is this? Scott Beck? Well, he's the co-founder and CEO of Glue, like we learned, but he has a very business-focused past. He served as the chairman of Family Life, Waldo's Dollar Mart, Ancestry.com, and he was in leadership positions on companies that we all know, Blockbuster, Boston Market, Einstein Bagel. Come on, this guy's a businessman. He's been doing this for decades, and he's also the president of the Koi Capital Markets LLC. So he's a businessman, folks. And how's that saying going? Yellow brick road, for the love of money is the root of all evil. You know, a lot of the problems we have in the world right now are the result of our dependence upon machines. Machines over people, and that's the whole AI robotics threat, you know. Folks, God doesn't need to use a technology platform to release the power of his grace. Remember, prayer, directed thought. His grace and mercy are sufficient. His love and justice, his compassion and his caring transcends any restriction here on earth. And the Holy Spirit's able. He's proven that over 2,000 years. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And then later on in verse 25, Paul writes, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But we have to keep moving, and right now it's time for our Absurdian report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Now, this next clip is going to be a replay from something I first played on here years ago. And the first time I played it, it sounded like it came from an episode of The Outer Limits. Remember, this was a clip from a TED Talk where the speaker is trying to justify pedophilia. And this is the creep. It's part of the dialectic method. Thesis, antithesis, synthesis. Let's move the rock. They use the Delphi method. Well, just have a listen to this. It's a 2-minute and 17-second clip. And then I'm going to give you something that's even more absurd.
I want to quickly summarize where we are at the moment. According to current research, pedophilia is an unchangeable sexual orientation, just like, for example, heterosexuality. No one chooses to be a pedophile. No one can cease being one. The difference between pedophilia and other sexual orientations is that living out this sexual orientation will end in a disaster. Right now, most of us feel discomfort when we think about this scenario. And most of us feel discomfort when we think about pedophiles. But just like pedophiles, we are not responsible for our feelings. We do not choose them, but we are responsible for our actions. And we must make a decision. It is in our responsibility to reflect and to overcome our negative feelings about pedophiles and to treat them with the same respect we treat other people with. We should accept that pedophiles are people who have not chosen their sexuality and who, unlike most of us, will never be able to live it out freely if they want to lead an upright life. We should accept that pedophilia is a sexual preference, a thought, a feeling, and not an act. We should differentiate between child sexual abuse and pedophilia. We shouldn't increase the suffering of pedophiles by excluding them, by blaming and mocking them. By doing that, we increase their isolation and we increase the chance of child sexual abuse. Only if they make themselves recognizable because they're not afraid of punishment, of anger and rejection, can we better understand the causes of pedophilia and we can improve their treatment.
Wow, what sickness, folks. You know, now they're calling these pedophiles MAPS, minor attracted persons. And folks, she stated a lie there. Remember the charge Canaan gave to his sons in his will, right out of the Talmud. Keep the love in the family. That means intermarry. Love robbery, love lewdness, hate your masters, and do not speak the truth. Folks, pedophilia is not a sexual preference. It is a sickness. Pedophilia is not a thought or a feeling that should be tolerated or embraced in any way. It is the most egregious crime against humanity that I can imagine. You take the innocence of these young children and you defile it. And now we're teaching sex ed to kindergarten students. I remember when I first learned about sex, I think I was in about the third or fourth grade. And there was a guy named George that told me how it worked. And I was blown away. And I didn't believe it. I had innocence. And my innocence was being shattered. But I don't think I could have remained stable had that happened a few years earlier. And I was in first or second grade. I didn't go to kindergarten, folks. But this is a sickness. As is this next report. And it's a little bit absurd. But it was reported over at Natural News. Mastodon is a social media platform used by the leftist media's reporters, and it has a serious pedophilia problem. So Natural News reports that this obscure yet much used social media platform by left-wing reporters, and it's called Mastodon, is a haven for pedophiles. And what they're doing is they're publishing some of the information on CSAM, children's sexual abuse material that's been studied by Stanford University's Internet Observatory. Now, what Stanford did in this study is they took a look at 325,000 posts on Mastodon, and they identified 112 instances of CSAM in just 2 days of research. And the first crime they identified took them less than 5 minutes to discover. Folks, in my humble opinion, this shows just how common pedophilia is among left-wing reporters. Now, you may be saying, well, bro, Ken, you're crazy. You're absolutely insane. But you know what, folks? If you do a little bit more digging on this, you're going to find that the Stanford study reports that there were 1,217 text posts on Mastodon linked to off-site CSAM trading or grooming sites and posts involving minors. And they reported that 11 of the top 20 most commonly used hashtags on that site were related to pedophilia. Now, Stanford researcher David Thiel, he spoke recently with the Washington Post about his study, and he says that he's got more pedo hits in a two-day period than an entire history of his group doing other type of social media analysis. He said nothing even comes in a close second to what he's uncovering in all of this right now. And I'm telling you, when you stop and think about this stuff, it's nothing short of the execution of the will of Canaan.
What?
That's right, Paul. Not even close. Now, if you've never heard of Mastodon, it's probably because you're not a left-wing reporter. And you don't hang around doing these things. Most of us are decent people. Now, we still need the grace of God and we still need to be saved because we're all sinners. But we don't have that inherent evil in us. And that's the point here, folks. We don't hang around on these seedy social media sites. But I think I know someone who probably did. I think I know somebody who's probably a regular user of Mastodon. Now, I'm not sure, certain of this, folks. I'm just speculating, but with good reason. There's a recent New York Post article, and I didn't bring it up here, so I'm just going to ask you to go out and look at it. But this man has just been charged with child porn offenses, and I think he's convicted, but don't quote me on that. And he was one of the biggest debunkers of the Pizzagate. Maybe more on that next week. In fact, let me write that in my notes. We're going to do the Pizzagate. Pizzagate reporter. I'm telling you, you can't make this, folks. You simply can't make it up. But we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K. Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started. Now, I had some other plans for this week, but I stumbled across this one comment from an atheist or a basher of Christianity in reference to that AI article I shared with regard to Glue, you know, the AI church app. And this was his comment. And he says, the following writers who lived during the time, he's referring to the time of Jesus, or within a century after the time that Jesus is supposed to have lived, include, and he lists 41 authors by name, Josephus, Juvenal, Lucinus, Philo Judaeus. He goes on and on. They're all of these ancient historians and poets and commentators. He says, the writings of these 41 authors named in the foregoing list form a library. Now, what I'm doing right now as I'm talking to you is I am calling up a website called Biblical Archaeology Review. And they have a title out there, and this is a very good, very well-researched article, and it's titled, Did Jesus Exist? Searching for Evidence Beyond the Bible. So to address these people that are out there saying that Jesus didn't exist, I'd suggest you go over to Biblical Archaeology Review, and then you can also read the book Case for Christ by Lee Strobel. And I'm telling you, folks, this was an atheist who was trying to debunk his wife's newfound faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everything he found did the exact opposite. And folks, that's how I came to the faith. I didn't want to believe it. I wanted to dismiss it all as fairy tales. And as I studied it, and I focused with evolution, I became shocked at the lies I was taught as a scientist concerning information theory and genetics all these different sciences that I took as the gospel. But then when I got into it a little deeper, I realized that it was actually the exact opposite of what I was taught. So this article is a feature article by a man named Lawrence Mitoux, and it was published in January of 2015. And it's a article full of like incredibly good footnotes or endnotes. So this article confirms 50 real people in the Bible, 50. So this naysayer had 41 authors. Now, there's a lot more than 41 people out there. So you could, you know, cherry pick people who didn't mention Jesus. But in this article, he mentions all the people who did. So if you ever dive into this type of research and you find these naysayers, and I'll tell you, I was texting back and forth between my sister-in-law, Sue, and I had mentioned Jordan Maxwell last week, and she said she stopped listening to Jordan Maxwell after he said that Jesus didn't exist. Well, I had a similar experience with a couple different people, and it challenged my faith. And I had to, Bart Ehrman was one of them. I had to do a deep dive to reassert that what I believed was built upon the rock of truth. And I'm encouraging you folks that if you ever face this, this moment of crisis with regard to what you believe in terms of your foundation in Jesus Christ, rest assured that from all the research I've done for 30 plus years, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm telling you this from a man who didn't want to believe it. And if you get hung up and stumble on something, please email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll get the information to you that will prove to you that this gospel is the rock rib truth. So enough said on that, but I just encourage you to go over and check that article out. You know, it's all there, folks. Jesus did exist. But right now, we have to keep moving, and it's time for our Back to the Future segment. And I've been building up to this the entire show, folks. This is Back to the Future, the segment where we take something from the past and bring it back to the future. Now, in today's segment, we're going to wind the clock back to 1967. That's the year the book titled Report from Iron Mountain on the Possibility and Desirability of Peace was first published by Dial Press. Now, this particular book, or this particular edition of the book, went out of print in 1980. And we've talked about this on past shows. I think I covered it in Ken's Corner. This was a book that was published by Dow and an editor named E.L. Doctorow. You know, he's written some great books, or I shouldn't say great books, but books that have become known to the public. And Dow President Richard Barron agreed with Lewin and Victor Navasky, because nonfiction, and turn aside questions about its authenticity by citing the footnotes. So now another copy came out in the 1990s by a group called Liberty Lobby, and that's where I learned about it when I was doing research for William Cooper as a CAGI reporter. Now, it's claimed that this was a U.S. government document, and it was found in a Xerox copier that was bought at an auction from some, I think it was a Boeing equipment sale, but don't quote me on that. Now, Lewin, he sued the Liberty Lobby for copyright infringement, and there was a settlement. And I don't want to get caught in the weeds here, but what I want to do is I want to tell you that there's a paperback edition out right now, and you can also find PDF versions of this out on the internet. If you can't, just email me, and I'll send you a PDF version. It's under public use now because of the copyright expiration. Now, it's a controversial book. But a lot of people are saying that it's a compilation of the findings of a special study group connected to the federal government, and this was their published findings. And it's a drive to look at how we can unify the world. And, you know, there have been all sorts of ways proposed in this study, and one of them was flying saucers, UFOs. Just imagine if we could stir up some sort of threat of an alien invasion. Isn't that what the premises of that movie Independence Day was all about? That's more predictive programming, folks. And along comes Ronald Reagan in 1987, where he gave a speech at the United Nations to the General Assembly. And what I'd like to do for you right now, folks, is I'd like to play Ronald Reagan's portion of that clip where he talks about the little green men and their spaceships invading planet Earth.
unites all the members of humanity. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us? What could be more alien to the universal aspirations of our peoples than war and the threat of war?
Now, I'd like to read a quote out of Eustace Mullen's book. I mean, everybody says Ronald Reagan was a great man, but he was a politician, folks. Everybody says Donald Trump was a great man, but he's a politician, folks. And Eustace Mullen became a Christian as he started to dive into the Bible. I think at first he was trying to debunk it like I did, but he had a revelation that God has no secrets from man. It's Satan who must confine his work to stealthy conspiracies through deception and to promises which will never be kept. And then he quotes Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and he says, the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. And then he goes on to say, and this is where I want you to focus, and keep this in mind with this quote that we just heard from Ronald Reagan, a politician. And he says, and it is for this reason that politicians of necessity must become followers of Satan in the rebellion against God. Politicians must deceive the people in order to gain power over them, just as Satan must deceive the whole world if he is to continue his rebellion against God. Satan takes you to the top of the mountain and offers you all the kingdoms of the earth. Martin Luther King proclaimed, I have been to the top of the mountain, but he never revealed what had taken place there. So the politician offers you free food, free lodging, free medical care. Everything will become free at last. The politician offers to defend you against your enemies so that he can deliver you to the ultimate enemy, Satan. Folks, be careful. That's what these politicians from Trump to Reagan to Biden, they are all agents of the master deceiver himself. And they have to be, because just as their father, they lie. So in our obsession with antagonisms of the moment, we often forget how much unites all the members of humanity. Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from the outside world. Beware, folks. This is a great deception. Now, there's a website, battlefieldearth.com, and there's a three-part article written by none other than Jim Mars. And, you know, I've interviewed Jim in the past on the old, now deplatformed, or I should say deleted, archive of Tribulation Now. So Jim Mars was the author of a New York Times bestseller on aliens. And I forgot the name of the book, but just go out there and search Jim Mars, New York Times bestseller, and you'll find the book he wrote on this entire UFO alien narrative. Okay, so how's this apply to the freaky deaky news of today? Well, here's what I'm going to propose that you do. Just go and search on the internet, and I don't like to say Google. Use anything other than Google. But, oh, by the way, when I was doing that search for the All of Us research, I didn't just use Google. I used Bing. I used DuckDuckGo. I used some of the other platforms, and I could find nothing on either mainstream or alt media on this. So anyways, let's just look at some of the articles that are out there. Identity of CIA agent who checked Lee Harvey Oswald's mail months before JFK's assassination revealed previously reported UFO sightings, bizarrely died on 30th anniversary of JFK's assassination. Here's another one. UFO ET disclosure, a deep state psyop. This was written by John W. Warner. Senate Intel Committee prepares for deluge of UFO reports. That's Senator Rubio speaking out on it. Republican congressman says government covered up Roswell UFO crash in 1941. Folks, this is just from a simple search. I just typed in UFO. Here's another one. Factor Fission. I had aliens in my backyard. Las Vegas UFO witness comes forward in YouTube video. Here's another one. UFO crashes in Las Vegas. Police body cam captures mysterious event. I could go on and on. 50 Marines spot triangular UFO as big as football field. There's even comedian Tom Green out there. I mean, this goes on and on. Jim Jordan slams Democrats in Congress for holding UFO hearings. Teachers union boss gets schooled. This is a psyop, folks. It is a huge psyop, and we need to be aware of it, lest we become deceived. Now, there's a quote from a guy named John L. Reed, and I don't know who he is, but I thought it was good. And it goes like this: war consists of imposing one's will on the adversary. Formerly, it was imposed by natural violence. That's kinetic warfare, folks. Today, it is possible through psychological violence. Now, our adversary, the devil, hates the truth, and he uses lies to deceive us. And Jesus warned us in John chapter 10, verse 10, to beware of this enemy, because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. So what I'd like to do today is pick up where we left off over the past 2 weeks as we get to know our enemy and his sinister ways. And we're focusing on the beast of Revelation, chapter 13, the first 18 verses. So 2 weeks ago, we learned about how he will suddenly appear on the stage, the world stage. And I'm beginning to speculate it could be Donald Trump. And he comes at a time when the nations are in turmoil. Sounds like right now, doesn't it? He's going to rise up out of the sea of the nations. Could it be Donald Trump? Well, perhaps. But like I said, whoever he is, he's going to be all the Napoleons and the Hitlers and the Alexander the Greats and Stalins and Mao's, all rolled up into one. And then we looked at his satanic ancestry and this seductive appeal he'll have to most people. Folks, I'm telling you, this beast, also known as the Antichrist, will be a very appealing man. He'll be easy on the eyes. Don't think of him as some hideous monster with one eye, a cyclops or whatever. When you use this term beast in the biblical sense, it's not referring to his appearance. No, it's talking about his nature. And then last week, we learned about his sinister ambitions. You know, he wants to deify Satan. Remember Satan's five I wills out of Isaiah 14, verse 12? And then he wants to defy the Savior. And he wants to destroy you and me, the saints, and dominate society. And that's what he's working to do right now as he deludes sinners. And how's he going to do this great delusion upon the masses of this world? Well, here's the final truth out of this portion of Revelation. He's going to use his supporting agent, the false prophet. And I read from Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. So I like to call this entity the sinister minister of propaganda. He looks like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. Now remember this about Satan, also known as Lucifer. He always wanted to be like God, but he can't. So not only are we going to see Satan, and not only are we going to see the Antichrist, also known as the beast. So you've got the anti-God Satan, also known as Lucifer, also known as the dragon. That would be God the Father. You know, he always tries to mimic or mock or copy God. Then you got the Antichrist, that's the beast, and that mimics Jesus. So the word anti means both in place of and against. So he's going to come as this great savior. And isn't that what Trump's trying to do right now? And then you also have anti-Holy Spirit or the false prophet. Now, the purpose and duty of this false prophet is to magnify the beast, to cause people to stand in awe and worship the beast. Now, they're going to worship the beast and give honor to the dragon through this worship of the beast. And that's what we do when we worship Jesus Christ. So he's coming in here with a counterfeit. And that's like Martin Luther said, Satan is God's ape. You ever go to the zoo and you kind of like scratch your shoulder and the gorilla will scratch his shoulder, or you pat your head and the gorilla or chimpanzee will pat his head? That is what Satan does. Whatever God does, Satan tries to counterfeit it and mimic it. So this false prophet, this sinister minister of propaganda, like I like to call him, this devilish miracle worker, he's going to cause people to worship the Antichrist, the beast. And there's verses 13 through 18 that give you the details. And I'm looking at the, I guess we could read it. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not to worship the image of the beast should be killed. So you and me, just like Daniel, and just like the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who refused to worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar, were thrown into the fiery furnace, and Daniel into the den of lions. You and me, who refuse to worship this beast, will be rounded up to be killed. And he causes both all, great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or on their foreheads. That's the mark of the beast, folks. That's what they're doing with the central bank digital currency. That's what they're doing with this social credit score. That's what they're doing with the quantum dot technology and the vaccinations and all these things through 5G, 6G, 7G technology to get us into their Borg system. And that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of this name. And here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Folks, that's 666. So this sinister minister of propaganda, he's going to cause people to worship the beast and control the masses on this earth in three primary ways. First, with fire, like we heard in verse 13, and he make fire come down from heaven on the earth. Could it be a big nuke that's exploded? Could it be some kind of show of force from the heavens? I don't know what it's going to be, but whatever it is, he's going to set the heavens ablaze. Maybe, like I said, an atomic explosion set high off in the firmament to bring down the whole world. Could it be that EMF to bring down all the electronics? Whatever it is, it's a great display of power. It's going to light the heavens from pole to pole, so to speak. So there's going to be this dazzling display in the sky, and it's going to give an authenticity to the global control and the power that this beast wields, you know. And then, in addition to this fire, there's going to be this great image. Verses 14 and 15 that we just read tells us about that. They're going to make an image to the beast, which had a wound by a sword, but did live, and had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Could this be some sort of AI Terminator technology? I don't know what it is for sure, folks, but it's coming. Now, this image of the beast is going to be a replica of the beast. You know, they're talking about cloning some of these figures right now. I don't know. Is it a cyborg? Is it a clone? But whatever it is, it's going to cause people to listen. Maybe the ultimate beast system computer, the AI wedded to television and holograms up in the sky through Project Bluebeam. Technologies are all there. Research Project Bluebeam, you'll see what I'm talking about. Think about it. We don't have any difficulty today believing all the images, the average person that is, doesn't have any problem believing these talking heads on the boob tube. You watch TV all the time. And if you're told that you're a great person, and if you're told that you deserve it, you crack open that beer and you drink it, even though that alcohol is going to mess you up if you drink too much of it. Now think about it. If you wind the clock back to your great, great, great grandparents, and you told them that you could watch this little black box sitting on top of a table in your living room, and people would talk to you, they would think you're crazy. They would. But now it even goes further. We're living in this era of virtual reality, you know, the metaverse. And we watch all sorts of things. They even have interactive movies now in the called The Black Mirror. They have one episode where you can actually pick the course you go. And if you did every iteration of that particular episode, I think the thing would stream for countless untold hours. Plus, we have CGI images. They're not real, but they look real. You know, we've been watching a couple of these old Star Wars things. There was one called 52777. I think it was about a kid that got to see a pre-screening of it with George Lucas himself. And then we watched that that George Lucas ego piece that was out. And back then they had to do models, and they did such a good job with perspective and lighting that you know, that whole first Star Wars trilogy was all done with models. Yet it captivated the nation. And today they've gone further with holograms and CGI and all that. But my point is, folks, that we can see animals that are computer generated and faces that morph from one face to another right before our eyes. And this is all done by virtual reality. So do you think it's going to be that hard for this false prophet to deceive the masses? Now, the most sinister thing of all, worse than the fire in the image, is the mark. And that's the mark of the beast in verses 16 and 17. And you're going to need this mark to buy and sell. And that's what's coming up with the central bank digital currency and all the Neuralink technology and the rebranding of Twitter to X. It's happening, folks. Now, don't think this is a small thing and you'd never submit to it. I'm telling you, it's a big thing, because if you don't submit to it, you're not going to be able to buy or sell, and hence you won't be able to live. Think about it. You need to have food to live. You need to have clothing to live. You need to have shelter to live. And without this mark, you're not going to be able to have any of that unless you get out of this system now. You need to decentralize now. You need to network within your local communities now. Because I don't know when Jesus is coming. I don't know if it's pre, mid, or post-tribulation. I just know one thing. We're told to, what are we told to do, folks? Occupy until he returns. Against which the gates of hell shall not prevail. And he's referring to his church. That's you and me, folks. Inspired and indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to occupy till our king returns. So I'm telling you, this mark of the Antichrist will be a brand from hell. And if you're not sealed by the Holy Spirit, you will be branded by the beast, or you'll be killed. So this is going to be some sort of cashless society. Can you see it coming? It's the CBDC coupled with the Bank of International Settlements Unified Ledger, and we talked about that. And when's it going to start? I'm not sure, but it could be very soon. So I'm warning you, we are on the literal precipice of the cashless society. Now, it's going to seem unreasonable to any newbies listening to this out there, but I'm telling you, this will be so simple and so efficient that you will be drawn into it without a blink unless you're aware. So this mark of the beast is going to be required to subsist and live. And I don't care whether you're doing a $1 billion deal or you're just going down to the local store to buy a loaf of bread. No seal, no sale, no mark, no merchandise. That's how simple it is, folks. So the devil's going to have this global control, and he's going to systematize the entire world using this technology that's already in place. You know, we have these microchips now in smart cards. That's one step away with this quantum dot technology to actually being injected into you with your next vaccination. I mean, years ago, we had these chips that were putting in people to track their families. We do it with our pets now, but that's the size of a grain of rice. These things are literally going to be injected into you through your next vaccine. You know, we talked about that 5G payload series that was out there on Rumble. We played some of those clips. That's how they're doing it. So Satan, through his beast, is going to turn the entire world into a concentration camp with all of his inmates numbered. Now, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ gives each of us, his sheep, a name, but the enemy numbers us like prisoners. Jesus calls each of us by name, praise the Lord, but the Antichrist, I'm telling you, he's going to give you a name, and he's not going to give you a name. He's going to give you a number, and that's the bottom line. So I just want to wrap this up now, folks. We're right there, right now, at the precipice, and it's sick. I'm telling you, it's sick. We've seen the dragon wage war against Almighty God, the beast against the lamb, and now the sinister minister of propaganda, the false prophet, he's waging war against the knowledge of God. You know, we can share in the mind of Christ if we don't conform our minds to this world anymore, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, but have them transformed. We can partake and share in the mind of Christ, which is the wisdom and power of God. So just beware, folks, this is dark, devilish power out there. He's coming upon the world in a big way right now. And God's children, that's you and me, cannot afford to be ignorant right now. Now, I believe that before the beast appears, the church could be taken out. The Bible teaches that the spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. And there are many small Antichrists out there, little A's. So don't think that you're just God's sweet little darling and you can sit back and smile and just let the world go passively by. You can't. You have to continue to occupy till he returns. But then on the other hand, praise Jesus, okay? Because there's no need to be terrified if you know the word of God, if his word is buried in your heart. So you better know it, folks. You better believe it, and you better teach it to your children. And above all, you better surrender your heart to Jesus right now and be saved. And folks, there's nothing magical here. It's just this directed thought known as prayer in the Bible. All you need to do right now is say, Jesus, I'm seeing everything that he's talking about. It's all around me. I understand that I can't do anything without you. So I'm going to put my hands up right now in a sign of surrender, and I'm going to surrender to you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to forsake all, and I'm going to trust you. And folks, when you do that, something supernatural happens. And at that point, I believe you're saved. And at that point, the Holy Spirit comes into you and starts teaching you. So folks, in the words of Winston Churchill, after you've surrendered to Jesus, then it's time to stand and never give in. No, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And remember, folks, when you do this surrender to Jesus, something supernatural happens and the Holy Spirit himself comes to indwell in you. And that's the very same power that rose Jesus from the grave. You literally partake in the mind of Christ. You literally partake in the divine nature of God. No, you're not divinity, but you partake in the wisdom and power of God. So let's lift our hands with Jeremy Camp and praise God. I love y'all.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's word.
The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power can call the raging sea. Lives in us, lives in us. He lives in us, lives in us.
We all cry out for change in our world, but many times you are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11, it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.